deeply disappointing. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, Greg behind the glass. John, if you're going to consistently throw short of the sticks, you're going to lose a game.
I am still struggling to find out, to find the words to describe what I saw yesterday. You saw a team, statistically, that dominated.
Yep.
Up and down the field. But at some, whenever you get in the red zone, you're not going to capitalize on touchdowns every single time. But you're in the red zone seven times and you come away with one touchdown. That's how you lose the game. It's the simplest fact. And now you can sit there and talk about play selection, players that you are ignoring throughout the course of an offense, but a big target in the red zone.
Sam LaPorta still play on this team?
Yeah.
Is he still on the team? Anybody?
Yeah.
Can we confirm if Sam LaPorta still plays for the Detroit Lions?
We have a sighting. So it's frustrating.
It's deeply frustrating, and I feel like they wasted a defensive performance we've been waiting for, and it almost makes it worse. Like, Aiden has a generational 4.5 sack game, one of the great performances from a Lions pass rusher ever. The defense holds the Bucs to, like, what, 200 yards and change? I mean, John, it felt even worse because we've been waiting to see strides from the defense. Everybody knows the Lions offense. I mean, come on. This is a top five unit. They're going to race car up and down this field. They're going to score a whole bunch of points. Nobody can stop the Lions except themselves.
Yep.
John, I can't explain some. Thank you, Greg. I can't explain some of the play calling. I can't explain some of the red zone decision making. I can't explain why all of these decisions on critical third and fourth downs were thrown significantly short of the sticks. I get it. You got guys who can make yards after the catch. But, John, I got to see some shots to the end zone before the half. I got to see some shots to the end zone at the end of the game. I got to see some running with Vita Vea out of the game in the red zone. How are they throwing it 55 times when Vita Vea, the big nose tackle, is out of the game for Tampa Bay? I cannot explain why they self-destructed their own offense.
It's simple. They got out-coached. And it's Dan Campbell with the major gaffe at the end of the first half, not coming away with 3 points. That's what set up everything in the second half. Yes, they got in the red zone a bunch more times. They could have scored. Jared Goff threw a bad interception. But if you just look at it in terms of the points, which I know it's you can't always do, but if they get down in the red zone like they did at the end of the game, they kick a field goal and win it. And it because they're only down one instead of being down four. Now you're forced to score a touchdown. And then on top of that, Ben Johnson doesn't realize personnel. What you look at every single time as a play caller is what is the personnel on the field? And, you know, are they in nickel? Are they in dime? Are they in, you know, a base defense? Whatever it is. But you also take a look, okay, who are the guys up front? And Vita Vea, first of all, he's not a guy you're going to miss. You are going to understand when he's not in the game because there's a massive human being that is not taking up all of that space. And all of a sudden, and what you do is you pull your offensive lineman and you're trying to block a running back screen or a wide receiver screen. I just don't understand it. So to me, this one came down to coaching. Dan Campbell, big mistake. He owned it. Doesn't matter. You still lost. It's a large part of the reason why. But then it's Ben Johnson, who is supposed to be this offensive savant. And there was no creativity in this offense. And you get down there and you don't recognize that one of the best defensive linemen in the league isn't in there.
And I don't want to hear where they ran out of time. They had four possessions trailing in that game late. Baker runs in the end zone. It's 20-16. The Lions had four offensive possessions, plenty of time to finish a drive the rest of the way. Instead, John, they go punt, pick, downs. They had four chances with all the other stuff that had happened, right? Dan Campbell with the just absolute buffoonery before halftime. They still had so many chances, 1 of 7 in the red zone. It's so many chances. And really, it does go all the way back to their very first red zone trip. It may be the most maddening possession they had of the game. They get in 1st and 10 from the 10, incomplete pass. 2nd and 10 from the 10, run for 7 yards. It's 3rd and 3 from the 3. John, you got an elite offensive line. You run it on third and three, knowing if you don't get the touchdown, and you might, it sets up two or one, and it's a go for it.
You
and
get
you're right,
half of it.
And you're right there. But instead, on third and three, they decide they're going to throw the ball. Okay. All right. I'll see this one out. We'll see what... Why is Sam Laporta blocking? Why is your arguably biggest target, your red zone guy, not even running a route? Instead, J-Mo runs this out with two defenders on him. It's incomplete. It's fourth and three. They kick a field goal. It was a sign of things to come. That red zone possession played out over and over and over. Why on third and 10 are you running a screen pass to Jahmyr Gibbs? Why is it pass, pass, pass? John, they had 21. I went back and counted 21 red zone plays. 14 of them were called passes. Two-thirds of the red zone plays were passes. That's not balanced. That's not playing to the strength. That's not understanding personnel. I don't know what that is. That's also the formula for the game. 55 pass plays? A no scenario are the Lions winning football games with that as their formula. They are not built to be a 55-time passing team. It should be balanced. It should be running. Why not do more? John, I can't explain.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And here's another reason, and I go back to, you know, and I know Tom was all over Todd Bowles as a great defensive coordinator. He is a very good defensive coordinator and a defensive play caller and schemer. You got out schemed because if you are always checking down in last possession, right? It's fourth and eight. You're gonna throw the ball 6 yards and hope that your Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be able to make a play to pick up the rest of that yardage. They had everybody covered deep. And I get why Jared Goff said, this is where I have to go with it. But that's their game plan was, well, let's keep everybody in front. Now, I know J-Mo had a 50-yarder. As soon as that happened, was there anything open deep? No.
No.
And so everything was a check down. Everything was a short pass right, short pass over the middle, short pass left, short pass over the middle. You look at the box score and you go play by play, it's all short pass, short pass, short pass, which can be effective, but some of those actually have to be at or near yardage for the first down. And they just said, hey, we're going. Lavonte David, one of the best tacklers in all of football. How many times was he the one on a third and eight, making the play at 6 yards.
Yep.
So you throw it to Jahmyr Gibbs, hoping he can make it up, but then there's Lavonte David to make the play.
There's no shortage of gripes, guys. If you want to jump in, start the conversation with us, 248-539-9797. I mean, we haven't really even talked about the end of half with Dan Campbell. He said it's 100% on him. We can get to that more this hour. John, end of game. They take over with 33 seconds to go. One timeout. Why are you throwing a 9-yard pass over the middle of the field and burning your timeout? Are the 9 yards worth your timeout at that point? They're not. Jared, throw the ball to bounce. Roll out. Get rid of it. Throw it over someone's head on the outside of the field. 9 yards and burning your last precious timeout is maddeningly stupid for a guy who's played this much football. Then what do they do the very next play? You have no timeouts. So now guess what, guys? You've squeezed the game. You have to work the sideline. You have to work the end zone. Dump off to Gibbs and bounce. Are you kidding me? Now we got to spike the ball, burn another play. There's 18 seconds left.
14.
14. They burned 18 seconds. There's 14 seconds left, and you're still not even in the red zone. Now you're squeezed even more. So when you tell me at the end of the game, Jared, well, you know, we didn't throw in the end zone because those are low percentage plays. You're trying to get closer. You completed low percentage BS checkdowns, and that's why yourself was forced into a bad situation. You squeezed yourself with poor decision making. We haven't even talked about Jared Goff. Two picks in the game, a million checkdowns, and a couple balls that should have been picked in the game. And I know I'm a reformed Goff hater, so I don't want to be too loud about it, but we shouldn't let him off the hook today either.
Yeah, it's going to that last drive, even after you use your first timeout, and then you throw it to the middle of the field, you get forced to go up and spike the ball. Your next pass play was incomplete to J-Mo. Mm-hmm. If it's completed at 14 seconds, I mean, the play starts at 14 seconds.
Yeah.
It's incomplete at 9. If you complete it, you have to run up there and spike the ball, and maybe you have one play left with 2 seconds.
Well, he should have toe-tapped. They could have got him out of bounds.
No. That was an incomplete.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the play after
that.
they completed the one to Jahmyr Gibbs. You down the you spike the ball, and then the very next play, is incomplete. But then it's incomplete to Jameson Williams. Like I don't get it.
Okay, we're already getting worked up, and I get it. I get why we're worked up. Okay, that was a bad loss for the Detroit Lions. That's a game they were plenty good enough to win, and they blew it so many different ways. 248-539-9797. Your takeaways, Dan Campbell's reaction, all of it coming. It's 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the state of Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. With all-day IPA, here is what you get. Refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All-day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. Speaking of great times, All-day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All-day IPA. All-day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Same, Dan. I don't know, maybe Tim Patrick ran the wrong route. I still, wow, three defenders, no Lions in the vicinity. Not even on the screen. Jared Goff's second interception of the day. There, we probably could have had three or four. Well, and I question the decision-making at times from Jared Goff. What are all these like little short, shallow things? What are all these little checkdowns? You're not going to push the ball down the field. You're not going to challenge down the field. And when you do, that's what happens.
Yeah, in regards to that interception, okay, you could say Tim Patrick maybe hasn't been there long enough to understand all the routes. I don't think it was him. I think that was a single high safety. And with a single high, he's probably running a corner versus a post. And Jared Goff is probably the one that read it wrong, threw it there, there's nobody near him, and it was a compounding of errors.
To me, 55 pass attempts in a one possession game with Vita Vea out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I just can't get over it. Well, I mean that is just
and to waste the defensive performance that you had in regards to Hutchinson and really I know that Godwin was able to get free and pick up some key first downs. Baker Mayfield had the touchdown run. But overall, I thought the defense played. They had a winning effort. Certainly Hutch had a winning effort.
They gave up 216 yards. They sacked the quarterback more than five times. They gave up 20 total points. They gave up two touchdowns. I mean, yeah, it was more than good enough given what this offense is supposed to be.
But the team itself, here's where I have a bigger issue, is in 22, all right, and this is, you know, second year of coach, young players. It's first year of Hutch, second year of Sewell, second year of Amon-Ra St. Brown, and you lose to Minnesota in week three. You lose to Seattle in week four. And you go back and you think, okay, young team, there were some things in those games that you could have done to win. And this is something I've been talking about, you know, how critical these wins in September are when you start looking back with the perspective that you have in December and January. Then last year, they lost in week two to Seattle. Coming off a big win on Thursday night to start the season off against Kansas City, you lose to Seattle at home. And you think at the end of the season how important that game was. And now all of a sudden, you've got another year older, another year wiser quarterback. You've got both coordinators back. You know, all your players are now veteran players.
Yep.
And you drop one like this, and you know how important this is. We talk about experience. Momentum doesn't carry over, but experience continues to build, and you lose this game in week two. It's inexcusable.
Sheldon, Highland Park, you're on 97.1.
Well, guys, please do not get upset if I talk a little bit about Jared Goff. But I think we were throwing these passes so much, I feel like they're just trying to show that Jared Goff is worthy of his contract or something. But Dan Campbell, when he stood at the press conference and he took the full blame, I think he was trying to take the blame off of who everybody's seen who the blame was. Because Baker Mayfield was doing the things, like the quarterback for San Francisco was doing the things to make his team win, and Jared Goff was not capable. I know he did it last year, throwing those passes to Lasorda and throwing the passes to important passes to Amon St. Brown. He just couldn't do it yesterday, and he was making a lot of mistakes, a lot of should have been interceptions, and really showing immobile. I just really hope all of the good things that happened last year don't turn around and be the bad things that could have been this year. Because I'm not a golf fan. I'm not cheering Jared Goff in grocery stores and all like that. So I don't want to be that guy. But I'm hoping I'm not seeing what I've been thinking the whole time. And we shouldn't have paid this guy.
Yeah, I mean, Sheldon, it's indefensible the way he played. And I've said it. I was the golf hater. I've tried to be reformed. I'm going to try to bite my tongue today. I know what I saw, and Sheldon knows what he saw too. As for Dan Campbell taking the heat off his quarterback, we're going to play Dan Campbell audio coming up at 6:35. He took all the blame. Do you agree with him or not? We'll slice out some of that blame pie. First, it's Heather with the news.
Hey guys, good morning.
Good morning.
So a horrendous car crash on I-75 Friday morning left two people dead, including a Michigan State Police trooper. Dan Kerstetter, a Michigan State Police motor carrier officer, he was stopped on the side of I-75 northbound near Dix in Lincoln Park when his patrol vehicle was struck. It happened right around 8:30 a.m. He was seated inside the vehicle. He had a seatbelt on at the time. He was parked behind a semi-truck when a Ford Explorer crashed into him, basically sandwiched him between the two vehicles. He was taken to the hospital in critical condition, later passed away. The female driver of that Ford Explorer was also taken to a local hospital where she was pronounced dead. Now, police are reminding drivers of that move over law. Things that we all know this, right? Which requires drivers to slow down at least 10 miles per hour and fully move over into an open lane. Obviously, if you can, right? Mm-hmm. Like
right.
Sometimes you can't move over because there's vehicles or weather or whatever
it
is.
More than 10 miles an hour.
Yes. And get over when you see a vehicle, a police officer on the side of the road. Very tragic. For the second time in 2 months, Donald Trump was the target of an apparent attempted assassination on Sunday. The FBI say that as Trump was golfing at his West Palm Beach golf club, a Secret Service agent spotted an AK-style rifle sticking through the fences and the shrubbery that lined the course. Roughly about 400 yards away, an agent did fire at the man, who then fled the scene in an SUV, leaving behind the firearm along with a bunch of other things. Two backpacks, a scope used for aiming, and a GoPro camera. He was later taken into custody, identified as a 58-year-old man, Ryan Wesley Routh. The FBI says it is still working to determine an exact motive. You probably heard about this as well. A large fight turned into a fatal shooting at Eastern Market on Sunday after the Lions game. There was a man from Oak Park, pulled out a gun, fired shots, killed one man, critically injured another. The shooter was taken into custody very quickly. Two weapons were recovered from the scene. Detroit Police Chief James White said that the victims and the shooter were most likely attending a post-game tailgate party, and that the shooting occurred in front of thousands of people, most of them who were leaving the Lions game. White also said after the shooting that tailgating, drinking, and guns don't mix. In lighter news, let's talk about Jesse Palmer and something that happened over the weekend. A Florida Gators fan's love life, or I guess you could say lack thereof, became the topic of national conversation. So Palmer, you probably know, he is the current host of The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. You know, that's how I know him. But he's also a former Florida and five-year NFL quarterback, right? So he was on the call for Florida's matchup with Texas A&M on Saturday when he just kind of roasted this guy on national TV, a Gators fan. This guy, he was wearing an orange and blue overall, you know,
the stripes
outfit. He had a mustache. He was waving a shirt around, making some noise in front of a group of girls that he appeared to know, I guess. And Palmer was quick to point out that he probably was in the friend zone.
He's a good listener.
He's a good listener. Oh, that was awesome.
Such a dagger. That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Dan Campbell says it's all on him. What do you think? It's 97.1.
All right, you guys, I have a really cool story to share with you. I was talking to Dr. Berkowitz from Michigan Hair Restoration, and he told me about a wedding that he was at recently. He said it was this really nice wedding downtown when one of his patients came up to him so excited to introduce Dr. B to his fiance. He continued on to say that his hair restoration treatment with Dr. B changed his life, and that it was because of his newfound confidence that he was able to go online and meet her. And then a little while later at that exact same wedding, another one of Dr. B's patients came up to him with almost that exact same story, except they were already married. And this patient was so excited to introduce Dr. B to his wife, who he wouldn't have met if he didn't go to see Dr. B. It's so amazing. And guys, your life is waiting for you on the other side of your hair loss treatment. With a full head of hair that you can run your hands through, who knows what you'll have the confidence to do. So go to MichiganHairRestoration.com today and schedule your consult with Dr. B. That's MichiganHairRestoration.com.
Lions head coach Dan Campbell. End of half was unacceptably bad. I mean, that's and he owns it. He took accountability coming out of the half. He took accountability post game for it. John, it's a high school level mistake to be running out your field goal team while also simultaneously trying to spike the ball with no timeouts, where a 10-second runoff takes 3 points off the board. And every Lions fan watching was thinking about what if they had those 3 points in the fourth quarter on one of those four possessions where they were down. What if it was, instead of a 4-point game, only a 1-point game? But I'll say this. I don't think it's 100% on Dan Campbell. I don't think he's the biggest reason they lost this football game. I appreciate the accountability. I think everybody likes Dan Campbell and appreciates that he'll own it. The biggest reason they lost that game is because his team didn't overcome his blunder. And he said that coming out of half. Hey, it's on the head coach. My team's got to overcome it. John, four straight possessions at the end of the game with a chance to win it. They didn't do it. Seven possessions in the red zone. They scored one touchdown. His team let him down more than he let his team down.
Yeah, you're going to have to overcome some things. You throw an interception.
Sure.
As a quarterback, you're hoping your defense steps up and they make it not costly. Coach makes a mistake. And mistakes are going to happen. No one's played or called a perfect game. This one was, you don't want to make the easy mistakes. And whether, I still don't know if he's falling on the sword to save Dave Phipp, to save, you know, who else may have made that decision.
Because you're wondering who yelled, hey, field goal team hot, field goal team get out there. It's not necessarily the head coach.
The hurricane call that he was talking about.
Yes.
I don't know. But it just, it's hard to imagine. And either one, whether it's Dan Campbell, Dave Phipp, both of them are experienced. It's not like this is the first game, first year, first opportunity. This is one that you practice every single Friday afternoon. Hurricane. And you know exactly how much time. Players are not blameless in this either. You know when there's 10 seconds left on the clock, There's not enough time for everybody to get off, us to get on, ball set, everybody set, snap, kick, hold. I mean, snap, hold, kick.
Yeah.
There's not enough time.
And it's third down. You can spike the ball. Like, the situational awareness was zero in that moment.
Right, yeah. And that, yeah, that's the other thing. If it was fourth down.
You got no choice.
Okay, you got no choice. But to try and make the effort to get everybody on. It wasn't fourth. You had third down. You spike the ball because everybody's there. Yep, spike the ball. And then you can walk the field goal team out.
But it's not the biggest reason they lost the game. It's just, it's simply not. Like, I said,
it's one of many factors.
It's one of many. But to me, the biggest reason was their poor execution in the red zone. And you can put that on Ben Johnson. You could put that on Jared Goff. But I thought there were too many throws to the flats, too many throws short of the sticks, too many checkdowns, not enough running the ball. John, they ran for 5 yards a carry. Vita Vea was not in the game for much of that second half. 55 pass attempts for Jared Goff, 27 runs. That's not a winning formula for the Lions. It's not like they were down 20 points and they had to go back and turn it into Texas Tech air raid. Like, this was a one possession game. Maintain some balance when you're on the goal line, when you're in the red zone, run the damn ball.
And it's on the heels of what happened last week. You get to overtime, you run the damn ball, and you see what happens. So you tell your offensive line, who, in my estimation, over two games, has not been the best at pass protection. Not, they haven't been bad, but not to the level that you would expect an offensive line that we touted as the best offensive line in the NFL. You're not under duress or under pressure as much as they were, or Jared Goff has been, especially in some of those key situations. And that, to me, has been something that has been a little bit of an eyebrow raiser. And then when Ben Johnson calls 55 pass plays, when one of the top run defenders in the NFL is no longer out there, I don't understand the concept of what they were trying to do. And especially since, I mean, they won the time of possession. They ran almost twice as many plays. Well, that happens when you are throwing the ball and the clock is stopping on incompletions. You get more opportunity to run plays.
Yeah.
And this is an offense that is predicated on, if we want the play action to work, which it did for J-Mo, it did a couple of times, you've got to be able to run the ball.
Got to be careful about getting caught up in the offensive numbers. Look, they were so different that they should have won the game, but they didn't win the game because the players didn't execute in the red zone. But I think overall,
well, players didn't execute in the red zone. They also, I don't think, were put in a position to be successful in the red zone.
I agree with that to a degree. That's why we've got about 8 different things we can blame if we want to. But if you want to blame number one thing, I do think it's on Jared Goff. The quarterback is the most important position in sports, and he has to execute. And he turned the ball over twice. He gave them 3 points directly once. You know, and through the season, the offense looks a little out of sync, right?
Yes.
Your quarterback of the Detroit Lions right now, you can pick either one you like. There's 2 statistics that gauge whether QBs are playing well or not. Which one do you like? You guys can both pick. QB rating or QBR?
QB rating.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's 24th in both in the league. Bottom quarter. That's not good enough. If Jared Goff is going to be bottom quarter QBR, QB rating this season, then they're in trouble.
Yeah. Let's get to the phones. Listen, it's Goff. It's Ben Johnson. Dan Campbell says it's 100% him. Antonio, you're up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, so biggest thing I took from yesterday watching that game, that the fourth down at the end of the first half, that is the most Detroit Lions thing I've ever seen in the past 3 or 4 years. I don't understand how, like, spike the football, kick the field goal. I don't understand how we messed that up. And the second thing is running the football. They saw what Montgomery did last week. And we go away from that this week. We feature Jared Goff throwing 55 passes. That's unacceptable. We got allegedly the best offensive line in football. Run the football. I run it down their throats. I don't care if the game is 9-6 at the end of the day. I don't care. Run the football down their throat. Because they lost Vita Vea. There was nobody there. Run the football.
Run the ball. Antonio, I'm right there with specifically in the red zone, right? Because, okay, everything gets condensed, right? They could bring the safeties in. The passing windows shrink. They were forcing everything to the flats. And what did Ben Johnson and Jared Goff do? They just got lulled into little dump-offs. Run the ball. In the red zone, two-thirds of their plays were passes. Run the ball. Get 4 yards the hard way. Lean on the strength of your football team. Stay ahead of the sticks. Don't be in third and long. And then on third and long, please don't throw a ball behind the line of scrimmage. Pretty please? With sprinkles on top. Don't throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage. John, I'm begging them watching this game, stop dumping the ball off and letting them swarm tackle you. Just please, 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 please find Sam Laporta, get him off the milk carton and throw him the ball in the middle of the field in the red zone. If you're going to throw it, you can't dump it off all game long.
No, you can't. And you were able to get explosive plays in the run game. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, I know it was later in the game, had a 24-yard run. And you wish he would have been able to stay in bounds, because then all of a sudden you're looking at a run that was almost a carbon copy from what he had last year as a touchdown run. But he does end up running out of bounds. David Montgomery had a 9-yard run. And so you were able to get explosive plays in the run game.
Yep. Again, 5 yards a pop. And it's not going to be 5 yards a carry in the low red zone, but that's what your offense is built on. If everything else fails, what are you supposed to do? Two tight ends, run it behind Penei Sewell, run it behind Frank Ragnow, run the ball. And if they take it away, like I go back to their first red zone possession, it's 3rd and 3. You run the ball. And if you're not going to run the ball, you better have Sam Laporta out in a pass route. Inexcusable to have Sam Laporta in and blocking on a 3rd and 3 in the red zone. He is one of your outlets. He's your biggest body guy. He's a safety valve for your quarterback. Why is that play called? Run the ball. And if you're going to throw it, keep Laporta not in the block, but put him out in a route.
Yeah, or at least leak him out late.
Yeah, something. Instead, he's sitting there, blocking, setting the edge. I don't understand it. I really don't. 248-539-9797. I don't put it all on Dan Campbell. I think it's admirable. That's what a leader does. He takes the responsibility and the blame. But I actually think he's letting his team off the hook. I think there's so much more to blame in this than Dan Campbell. It's 97.1.
Hey, it's been a great NFL weekend, but it's not done yet. We still got Monday Night Football, and you've got another chance to start the season off with a big return on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. You're going to get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet on tonight's game, and that's the Falcons and the Eagles. Put together an SGP, a same game parlay for Monday Night Football. And here's what you can, here's one as an example. Saquon Barkley over rushing yards. Kyle Pitts, anytime touchdown. Since A.J. Brown's out, I think you're safe to say Devontae Smith, big part of the game plan, over receiving yards. Just visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to make every moment more this season. That's FanDuel.com/Jansen. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We had a father and son come up to Rico and I on the tailgate show.
Yeah.
Son Ryan from Muskegon said his prediction was Aiden Hutchinson would have a 3-sack day. Did it in the first quarter. I wish Ryan from Muskegon had said the Lions would win the game, because they wasted what was a great day for Aiden Hutchinson and really the defense.
Yeah, defense played well. And I know at some point we'll get a chance to talk about Terrion Arnold. I wasn't a big fan of the first pass interference call, but I thought, okay, if this is how they're going to call it, let's see if they're consistent throughout the game. And the officials just weren't. But again, that's not why they lost the game.
No, and that's what we've said. Dan Campbell even said, it's all on me. Their coach caught them the game. No, Dan, the team didn't overcome your halftime blunder. And it was a blunder, but the team didn't overcome it. What do you guys put the blame on? Let's get to Sean and Warren. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I was just wondering your observations on possibly how many audibles that Goff called that were run plays, and he switched them. I was hearing a lot of kills and stuff like that. And these plays to the flats seem like they're almost negative yards. There's no protection. They were going left and right with it. Like Tampa was ready for it.
Yep.
And then checkdowns. I could talk to you guys all day. It seems like, I don't know if Goff's trying to do too much with his big contract. And he's back there. He's holding the ball. It seems like way too long. Just trying to get your thoughts on this.
I don't know. I mean, it's impossible for us to say how many of those were checked at the line of scrimmage from a run to a pass. I'm, there's no way for me to know that.
But at some point, don't the coach and coordinator and quarterback need to get on the same page and go, hey, Jared, let's stop check if that's true.
Oh,
stop
sure.
checking into dead plays.
You remove that option.
Yeah.
When you're Ben Johnson, you don't give them two plays, or you put something in there and you put a tag word on it. Like, this is, we're running this play no matter what. And I mean, you don't, the advantage of having an experienced and calm, cool, collected quarterback like Jared Goff is that you can have that opportunity. You get up there and all of a sudden, you know, hey, this, the play that we have called looks like a loser. There's something else we could check to. That's the beauty of having him there. We've seen that be very successful. But sometimes the defensive coordinator, and Todd Bowles is a good one, they can disguise a lot of different things. And if you're not seeing it as a quarterback, it's understandable. It's okay. We can see things a little bit different from the sideline. We've got more minds working on this than just yours. Then you give them a play and you say, this one, hey, this is a no check. You run this one no matter what.
Stephen Plymouth, what'd you see? You're on 97.1.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Hey, good. Good morning.
I think a lot of this is on Goff. I think he just made a lot of bad decisions. I mean, before the half there, if he just throws it into the dirt or throws it at the balls, you don't have to worry about coming back and spiking the ball. I mean, and then in the fourth quarter there, I don't think one time did he throw it into the end zone to give us a chance on scoring a touchdown. I just think he made a lot of bad decisions there.
So I 100% agree with you, Steve, and it was driving me up a wall. At the end of the half, clearly they need to get on the same page about field goal unit versus spiking the ball. But throwing that pass when you already had a field goal in your back pocket was essentially a waste.
Yeah.
It forced them to be under the gun with a running clock. If Jared Goff sees, hey, the only guy open is St. Brown over the middle for a short gain, throw it out of bounds, and then you still have third down to take another shot to the sideline or the end zone. By throwing it over the middle with no timeouts, they effectively played for a field goal in that moment. A field goal they didn't even get off, which is not Goff's fault, but that drove me crazy. Then end of the game, Goff was asked about, hey, what do you say about no shots in the end zone? And he said, well, we wanted to get inside the 15 or the 20 where those shots in the end zone are higher percentage plays. Makes sense. One problem, Jared, you burned our timeout on the first play of that drive, throwing a 9-yard pass over the middle of the field, and then you followed it up with another 9-yard pass in bounds. So, Jared, you created this problem where you couldn't throw into the end zone because you burned the clock and the timeouts on wasted checkdowns.
Well, it was the same thing at the end of the first half as it was at the end of the game. You keep throwing the ball in the middle of the field. There was one incompletion to J-Mo, third to last play of the game, where he just barely doesn't get his second foot down. But then you come back and you throw it to him on the right side on the numbers, where thankfully it was incomplete.
Yeah,
there was no chance that you had you already burned your last time out. You weren't going to be able to get. He wasn't going to be able to get the ball out of bounds. Now all of a sudden you're left with the same situation. Got to rush up, spike the ball, and then hopefully take one shot at the end zone. That's all you're going to be left with?
It was not managed well. And you said outcoached, and I think you're absolutely right. Let's get to Anthony in Ferndale. Anthony, you're on 97.1. Good morning.
Hey, morning, guys. Cookies, I just want to double down with the Sam Laporta deficiency. Where is Sam Laporta? There was so many instances I'm watching this game in the red zone and even in these crunch time third downs that Sam Laporta is the weapon that this team needs to utilize. And he was off the planet yesterday. Had some really good blocks, and I know that's why he's a good and valuable tight end in this league. But this dude can catch. This dude can break open. This dude can make plays with his feet. Why are we not utilizing him? He's an asset to this team in this receiving core, and I think even it could shake up the defense a little bit and put them on their toes because they're looking J-Mo, they're looking Amon-Ra. Like, put Laporta in the game plan. There's so many instances where we just miss the ball giving it to him.
Yeah, there's no shortage of playmakers in this offense. So to be held to 16 points, to go 1 of 7 in the red zone, to have 2 turnovers, to mismanage end of half and end of game,
Well, we were told during training camp, what was the descriptor about the tight end room? greatest tight end room that he's ever seen. And you only have three targets to Sam Laporta. That's not including anybody else in that tight end room. That's three targets in this game. When you threw the ball 55 times, three of those were to Sam Laporta.
Seven trips to the red zone in this game. Through two games, Laporta has one red zone target. I can't explain that.
So Laporta has eight targets on the season. That's a pace of 68. Last year, he was targeted 120 times. You know, that it is a problem. You want to talk about overreactions, which we're going to get to soon. It is not overreacting to say that Sam Laporta's got to be part of this offense. He should be almost a 1B to St. Brown. And I'll go further with the tight end room. And I'll place this to Ben Johnson, not the player, Brock Wright. Yesterday was a great opportunity to use a little deception when you were struggling to move the football to roll Wright out in a play that we've seen a few other times work when the Lions offensive needed a big play and struggle. And all of a sudden you get the other team on your heels. And there does seem to be a little bit of an obsession to get Jahmyr Gibbs the ball. He had seven targets, seven catches, 22 yards. What an awful average per catch.
Well, that's because every time he caught the ball, he was behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, but they're not giving him the ball.
Why are you doing it seven times when it didn't work the first four?
So this becomes a fundamental debate, and I don't know if we're going to get a clear answer. The play that's called sometimes is a designed running back dump off or a screen.
Yeah.
Other times there are four or five route options, and Jared Goff is making the choice based on coverage or whatever to throw the ball short. It's not like Ben Johnson called plays that had no options beyond the first down. So then it's like, okay, as much as I want to blame Ben, some of it is also on Jared Goff for just kind of taking 3 yards and the check downs and getting lulled into third and long and then not having enough to get the first down. 248-539-9797. We've got Lions phone calls to get to, ticket text to read, and yes, overreact gyms on a Monday. Some of the biggest overreactions from this weekend's football. That's next. It's 97.1.